We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
I feel you. I believe we may be live now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 63 of The Art of Surrender. I'm joined today by Josh Sultan, or probably more known as Peaches. I believe it's Peaches BJJ on Instagram. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, definitely more people know me as Peaches, I reckon, in the jiu-jitsu community than they do as Josh.
Yeah.
So,
That's definitely how I know you as well. I think even before we were kind of meeting up, I was like thinking, what, I had to like double check. What's your name? Josh. Yeah, I think it's Josh. Yeah, that's right. It's Josh.
Yeah. There's been a few instances where I've like sent friend requests to people and stuff, and they're like, who's this Josh person? And then they realized that, oh, it's Peaches. And like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice, mate. I was just saying before we went live that we've met once before at Taurus and had a little bit of a role. It was a seminar that Daz was doing, who's also a guest of the podcast a couple of times, I think. I actually recorded one with him that day after the seminar. With him and with Luke, but yeah. Unfortunately, like, COVID hit right after that, and we spent like a lot of that podcast talking about Luke's like free rollers, like plans that he had up and coming and one that he was promoting. And then like all of it got canceled.
Yeah.
Like,
damn.
Just with COVID. So I think I, we just like held off and we kept it. I didn't release that one. And then I was always going to record another one with him later when things kicked back off again.
Yeah. Cool. But anyway, yeah, no, I actually remember meeting you and stuff at Taurus and stuff. And yeah, it was good. It was good. I think, yeah, it was a seminar, but I just came afterwards just for a few roles and stuff. I think I trained in the morning. And then, we had a role and stuff as well, which was good. It was good to meet you. Finally put like a face to a name.
That's it, mate. That's it. And I've been, had Jake on the podcast a couple of times and asked him for like recommendations of people in his team and circle to chat to. And you've been one of those names. And I think you might've even been in the background of one of the podcasts I recorded with Jake.
I think I was actually, yeah. He was kind of asking me a few things and yeah, I think I was in the background.
Yeah. So this one's been a long time coming, mate. I'm happy to have you on.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and stuff anyway. So it's good.
No worries at all, mate. So I guess we'll get started. I just want to ask about, let's kick off with kind of just how you got into jiu-jitsu or martial arts, wherever it started. Just give me kind of like a little bit of a background on yourself, and then from there we'll kind of like go into what you've been up to recently, and all, you know, it'll all kind of happen.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. So I actually started martial arts when I was 6 years old, way back in the UK, but it was actually traditional jiu-jitsu, so slightly different, not Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We did like little bits of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and a few kind of different kind of martial arts, basically kind of all blended into one. Did that for basically 10 years. And then my parents decided to move over to the UK, move over from the UK to Australia. So I was 16 then at the time. So I came over and I was playing rugby as well at the time. So I was doing rugby and jiu-jitsu. At 16, that's when I started or discovered Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I'd not really done much of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'd only done really like traditional martial arts and stuff like that. And then as soon as I started doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, pretty much fell in love like that same day. Went to the gym, got smashed for like an hour and a half, I think. It was like just a rolling session. And I was like, I thought I was pretty good because I was like 16. I'd done like 10 years of traditional jiu-jitsu. I was like a junior black belt and stuff at the time. And then went and did Brazilian jiu-jitsu and I was a fish out of water. I got smashed but I loved it. And
did you have any, I was going to say, were you rolling with other black belts or just like, did you kind of get some rude awakenings rolling with maybe lower level people or perceived to be lower level?
Yeah, so in the room there was probably some like purple belts, brown belts. I don't think there was any black belts at that time, because that was like 2007. So way back when in Perth there wasn't that many black belts and stuff back then. But yeah, there was lots of like high level jiu-jitsu, and it was just hard training. It was really, really hard training. But yeah, after that session, I just went to my mom, because my mom was actually with me at the time. And I was like, "Mom, sign me up. I want to do this." And then, yeah, just started doing jiu-jitsu. Then after that, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But then I was doing rugby as well at the time. So I was kind of juggling rugby and jiu-jitsu. And then it got to a point where I was like, "Nah, I got to go all in jiu-jitsu." So yeah. Then kind of finished doing the rugby, and then just went straight into doing jiu-jitsu, and was doing jiu-jitsu then. And then that was, yeah, 2000 and when was it? 2000 and 2007, we moved over from the UK. And then January 2008 is when I started doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, pretty much. Yeah. So I've been doing that now for, 14 years.
Okay, with some grappling experience. And I mean, we'll continue through all that, but the theme I keep seeing with a lot of people, like even in MMA, and as you know from Perth, Jack Della, mm-hmm. rugby. A lot of MMA fighters have a background in rugby, especially the ones out of Australia and New Zealand even. Do you find that you had a natural kind of tendency for grappling after having done like rugby and stuff as a kid?
Yeah, I think it's just like the rugby tackles, like actually like tackling somebody and like getting into people's faces. I think it's like after doing rugby, you're not scared to be in front of somebody, I think, because you know you have people running straight at you. I remember a really funny story. My first jiu-jitsu competition, I'd only been training maybe 2 months, something like that, probably not even, a couple of weeks. And I didn't really know much jiu-jitsu, but I knew how to tackle people and take people down. So literally all I did for the whole competition was just takedown after takedown, just double leg, just rugby tackles. But it was literally a rugby tackle. And as soon as I took them down, they just bounced back up, because I didn't really know how to hold them down. And then I just do it again. I actually lost my first fight, but that was quite a funny experience, especially basically just doing rugby in a jiu-jitsu competition.
Sounds like it was pretty effective to an extent. You've gotten past the rugby's opened the doors for you to implement the jiu-jitsu. A lot of jiu-jitsu competitors, I know it's kind of changed recently with the blend of wrestling and stuff like that, but in the past, one of the toughest things about doing jiu-jitsu is actually getting a fight to the floor first. And then it's like, okay, now we're cool, I'm good, I'm comfortable. But if you don't have that wrestling kind of skill set, you can kind of be a fish out of water yourself, even if you're very good at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, definitely. I think having that kind of being able to take people down is kind of a good benefit, especially starting out with that. But yeah, like you said, it's one of the hardest things, taking people down. 100%. Yeah.
So it sounds like once you sort of got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu and kicked off the kind of jiu-jitsu stuff, were you straight into competing? Is that kind of always what you wanted to do?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I did like a competition straight away, and then I just tried to compete as much as possible. So yeah, I actually really like competing. I'm quite a competitive person. I think being shorter as well kind of helped with that, because I always kind of wanted to have like a bit of a point to prove, because I was a short person. I was always that kind of underdog, if you like, and I always liked that. I liked being the underdog. And I think that's kind of why I like to compete so much, is because I actually thrive. I actually compete a lot better sometimes than I actually train, which is really weird. Like being in front of people, I kind of feel like I go to kind of another level, which is really weird. And I think
does that come back to the point, having a point to prove? And if there's people in the room that are watching, you kind of want to make that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if you're comfortable saying, but for listeners, how tall are you?
I'm like 150 centimeters. So basically like 5 foot.
I'll put the photos up. I think there's a good one of you next to Jake, and he's not even that tall himself, to be honest.
When we've been like the twins photo, that's probably the best one.
Yeah. I always had a an idea about kind of if you're shorter in jiu-jitsu, it's easier to have a, like, there's benefits of being tall and benefits of being short. Like if you're tall and have long legs, maybe it's really, you have a really good guard. Or maybe if you're tall and you're passing and you're trying to do the tripod type passes, also very beneficial. But if you're short, you have like a lower center of gravity, so your base can be really good. So you A, can kind of get under people for the takedowns, and B, you're a lot harder for other people to get underneath.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's kind of what my game is as well. Is like, obviously I've got to use my size against all these bigger people, because generally everyone's bigger than me, taller than me. They've got longer arms, longer legs, long limbs. But as soon as I get in and get close to them and kind of take away that space, then there's not as much space for them to kind of get their legs back in, stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's
I remember that about rolling with you. Like you said, take that space away from the, your passing was very much like that. Heavy pressure, like you're low to the ground, kind of driving and like kind of like grinding through me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's kind of the passing that I like to do. So. Yeah,
that's good. Okay, that's good, mate. So obviously we're into competing and stuff at a young age, and you loved it. It's what you always wanted to do. Try to compete as much as possible. Are there any kind of highlights from your younger days, or any kind of, I don't know, like light bulb moments where you realize like you're really good at this, or you know, that kind of stuff that gives you confidence, or you're starting to really like realize that, you know, competing is a realistic thing for you to do well at, given how far you've gotten today?
Yeah, so I think so pretty much at every belt level I went to the Pampacs, the Pan Pacifics, over in Melbourne, and I actually medaled pretty much at every belt level. So I think that kind of gave me quite a lot of confidence. That was the biggest competition in Australia for many years. Way back in the early days before the IBJJF kind of took it over. That was competition. So yeah, definitely going to that and meddling and being on the podium and stuff definitely gave me a lot of confidence to like, oh, I actually do know how to do this, and I'm quite good at this. I did go over to America as well a little bit. I think I went over there and competed 3 times. But coming from Australia to the US, I never really had any like ranking points or anything like that. So I'd always get a really tough guy in the first round, and I actually lost in the first round. But it was always against the guy that ended up winning the division. So yeah, which is a bit of a bummer.
it's funny you say that. That's how it was kind of like through the competitive, you know, as you've progressed here. But I also know that you competed in the ADCC trials. You got first seed in Jeremy Skinner for your first match too, and he ended up winning the gold medal. So, you know,
it happens every.
what was that? Do you want to talk to me a little bit about your ADCC experience? Well, obviously we can go back to kind of like continuing on your journey and stuff, but we're there now, so
let's go ADCC if you want.
How did that whole thing go, man? I'd love to hear how like competing with Jeremy went. I watched it, to be honest. I can't remember like details of the match, but I know at the time I thought you held a pretty good account of yourself.
Yeah, so I think I actually performed very well. Obviously, I'm not overly happy about the result. Like, I would have loved to obviously win and get through and do well at ADCC trials. But obviously, Jeremy Skinner is one of the top competitors in Australia right now. So I'm very, very happy with that. I took him to overtime, and I didn't get heel hooked by him. Which is kind of a good kind of bonus for me. Obviously, that's his A game jiu-jitsu, is to heel hook people, and he was trying to leg lock me. Managed to stay on top the whole time, and basically we just went in there with a pretty solid game plan, and basically push him to overtime, and knew that I was going to be pretty hard for him to take down, and I could probably get the takedown on him, which is what I did. But in the process, he got a guillotine on me and the guillotine instead of leg locking me.
Yeah, in the guillotine in the overtime.
Yeah.
So
pretty happy with how I went. Obviously, like the prep up to that was with Ash Williams and Josh Williams as well. Essence with Jake and stuff. So yeah, I felt good for that. I was pretty prepared, ready to go, ready to throw down and stuff. So yeah, I was really, really happy with prep, and it's a shame that I didn't quite get the result. But it also gives me a little bit of confidence that I am on that level as well, that I'm kind of up there as well. And hopefully this is kind of the first kind of big step of kind of getting my name out there even more, really, in Australia and stuff. So
yeah. And what did it feel like, sort of, you know, Jeremy Skinner's got a big name. He's very well known. He's had a lot of success. And you come into a first match to number one seed and a guy like that. I'm sure you kind of like go in there prepped and, you know, you've put in all the work. Obviously, you're nervous and stuff. But, you know, how do you actually deal with that when you get to there and you're about to kind of like start the match? How do you put that all aside and make sure you execute and not get overwhelmed by the moment? Because I don't know, maybe you feel like you did get a little bit overwhelmed, possibly. I don't know. In how you performed, it definitely didn't seem like that. It seemed like you were ready for that moment, and just unfortunately he edged it out on you.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So going back to what we talked about before about being the underdog and like wanting to perform in front of people, I obviously was going in there as an underdog, so I knew that I had nothing to really lose. So I had to go in there, do my game plan and stick to it, and as long as I stick to it, pretty sure that I could get the win, and yeah, just going in there with the confidence, that was kind of the main thing for me. I didn't really feel overwhelmed with the moment or anything like that. Obviously, I knew it was ADCC trials, and this big thing, like, oh, you win, you get to go to the worlds. But I was just trying to do one match at a time. I knew I had to get through Jeremy. So I was just thinking all about that, getting through him first, and then move on from there to that. But yeah, I was ready to throw down, basically. As soon as we touched hands, I was like, all right, let's go.
Like, yeah,
let's do this. Yeah, but unfortunately, just pit me at the post.
Yeah, but that's all right. You'll be back, mate. You'll be back. And I know, and funny enough, Pan Pax is what you're prepping for now, right? I know, yeah. That's what Jake was saying recently. Assume you're on the same kind of rhythm with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so now that's it. So it's, three weeks away, Pan Pax. So... So I'm just going to go and go over to Melbourne and compete there. That's the next big step, really. We've got maybe a couple of super fights kind of lined up just towards the end of the year as well. So hopefully that kind of all falls into place as well. So
yeah.
We're not slowing down, even though it's coming towards the end of the year. We're not slowing down. Actually up a little bit, I think. So.
When you prep, I know, like, you would have put pretty much your life online to kind of like, not life, but, you know, maybe hold up some things in your life in order to prep properly for something like ADCC. And you guys were obviously with Josh and what are their names? Williams, AJ, sorry, Anthony. Jesus. Ash and Josh Williams. I should know this. My bad. I'm just fumbling all over the place. But you're training with them. You're training with guys like Jake in the whole camp lead up, and you get to the comp. You get the kind of experience against someone like Jeremy. But and it didn't go your way. But overall, just like that, from the start of that prep up until now, like, what do you think that's done for your level of jiu-jitsu? Like, realistically, how much do you think you've been able to improve in that time?
Oh, huge. Going back to like the very first thing, so I was actually working full time. I was working 5 foot, leading up to the ADCC trials. Yeah. But I decided to basically have 6 weeks off, leading right up to ADCC trials. So I took a load of time off work, just blocked out the full 6 weeks leading up to that, to just basically be at the gym every day with Ash and Josh, Jake. Obviously, we had Adele there as well. So we had some quite high level guys, all in the guys and girls in the room. So I just wanted to just prep the best I possibly could. And then after that, obviously then competing at ADCC trials, doing pretty well, in the first round, obviously not getting the win. I decided to actually quit work and just go straight to doing this full time, basically. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, but it definitely, yeah. That whole prep and stuff was like really beneficial. I think my jiu-jitsu has improved a lot over these last few months, basically from the ADCC trials, just confidence wise as well. Going into the room, we train pretty much every day anyway. So it's just kind of that consistency, just kind of getting in the room, training. Getting ready as much as we can.
Yeah. What were the kind of takeaways from working with Ash and Josh so much? Like, what do you think they bring to the table for the Essence crew in general?
Oh, definitely a lot of the mental side of it. Like being able to obviously perform, at the highest level. Just the way that they train as well, is a lot different to, I think, a lot of other gyms and stuff. Like the intensity that they bring as soon as we start, that's it. We're going, it's on. Just that intensity, just trying to replicate what it's like competing in the training room can sometimes be quite hard. But having people that have experienced the highest level of competing like Ash has, he definitely brings all of that into the training room and helps us prep the best we can. So we know what we're going into, basically.
Is that kind of like by bringing it to you in the roles kind of at that level?
Yeah. So it just pushes us. Yeah. And then you've got Josh on the sideline screaming at you, shouting at you. you got kind of the best of both worlds. Josh, Ash is in there doing it to you, and then Josh is screaming stuff at you as well. So it's good. It's a definitely good vibe as well. But they also make it fun as well, which is
how would you blend in the I'm not sure how you structure the days when you're training for something like this. Obviously you train at that intensity with them, but I'm sure there's an element of kind of what, you know, like a class where you're not so much just rolling, you're breaking down techniques and kind of like drilling them or doing them at a really slow level to play with the mechanics and things. Is that also part of the whole thing?
Yeah, so we do some like active drilling and stuff within the classes as well. So that's kind of where we're kind of drilling, but under like a little bit more resistance and stuff as well. So we definitely do break down a few little things and stuff. But the pro classes are where we're training, we're throwing down basically.
Yeah,
not so much technique. It's more about implementing your game, kind of playing your jiu-jitsu.
At your level now, do you kind of run your own race when it comes to, you know, working on your game and developing your jiu-jitsu, or are you working with a coach who kind of helps you plan that out yourself?
Yeah, so I have like a few guys that I obviously like bounce ideas off like that. Obviously Jake is one of them. He definitely helps like add a few things to my game. I roll with him like most days, so it's very, very good to kind of get feedback and stuff from him. And then obviously you speak to Ash and Josh Williams as well, a little bit. So it's kind of accumulation of kind of everyone's kind of work, really. I don't do all of the work myself, but I kind of try and put all of it together as much as I can myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But people there that definitely enhance it and make it definitely a lot easier for me to think about what I should be doing or what I shouldn't be doing and things like that. So Yeah.
Or just reminding you of different details in like techniques that you maybe aren't the strong, maybe it's not your real strong suit. So someone will show something that you're like, oh yeah, that's right, I got to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I know, working FIFO, you mentioned that before and you've kind of made that transition into, well, handing in that job. So good on you, man. That's a step towards kind of like pursuing what you want to do for a living and attacking your dreams and shit. So that kind of really good step forward there. But what were you actually doing on the mines? I know you've got your career as a barista. Is that what you were doing?
I actually ended up doing two different jobs on the mines. So,
you're good.
Table. Yeah, I just dropped something off the table.
Grab it if you need, mate. All good.
Nah, it's all good. So the first job I was working in the cafe and tavern. So I was like being a barista and just kind of running like the retail kind of department or helping run one of the team members of that. And then I actually have my Cert 3 and Cert 4 in fitness. And the gym on site, they needed some help to cover the two people that was working in there. They were having holidays at the same time, so the management asked me if I wanted to cover them and help them in the gym. So I did for a week or two and absolutely loved it, and I basically just said to them afterwards, I was like, if there's ever a job in the gym, I want it. Like I want to have that job. And like maybe a couple of weeks later, one of the guys actually resigned So then I then got the call then to move into the gym. So I was actually running the gym on site. So our site was about 2,000 people, and I was the instructor running the group fitness classes, looking after the gym, tidying up the gym, cleaning it all, doing like consults for people, like PT sessions for people and stuff like that as well. So it was actually a really good job. Like I actually quite liked the job, but yeah. It was just the annoying thing is that I couldn't train jiu-jitsu as much as I could.
Yeah.
But I was actually in a very beneficial site because basically where I was, I had a few people that actually trained jiu-jitsu. We had our own mats up there as well. So I had maybe five to 10 people, depending on who was on site at any one time, to actually train with as well. So I had up to about purple belts, and I had a judo black belt as well to train with. So even when I was working on site, I still had a little bit of training. It wasn't obviously as intense as what it is when I was back home, but definitely something to keep moving and keep my head in the game, basically.
Yeah, man. And I can't even. What was your roster? 2-1 or 2-2? 1-1?
It was actually 2-2, so it was even time. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just worked days as well, so I didn't work evenings or nights.
That's pretty much the best roster you can get, isn't it? 2-2 and day shift.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
So, but still, mate, you're working 12-hour days on the mines, and even not just yourself, but all the boys and the girls there, having the opportunity to even do jiu-jitsu while they're away. Like, I can't even imagine how beneficial that is for everyone.
Yeah. Like, they all really liked it as well. Obviously, I kind of pushed it a little bit and tried to get training partners as much as I could. They all really liked it. It was really good for people that train jiu-jitsu, having 2 weeks off or whatever your swing is off of jiu-jitsu, it's kind of hard to then go back to training when you're back home. So just by having that day or two or like couple of sessions a week where they can just do some rolls and just kind of rounds and just kind of roll, it just made their weeks, their swings go faster. And also just helped all of us really just kind of get through the
struggle of fucking FIFO work, mate. That's what I'm talking about. More than like, forget your training, forget progressing, just being able to like train and feel a little bit normal.
Yeah, pretty much. That was it. Yeah. So it was good. It was good. So, but obviously like because of the hours that we all worked and stuff, we only could really do like half an hour to 40 minutes every other day, really, just because everyone's doing 12-hour shifts, long days, things like that. So, but we got something in, which was the main thing.
Yeah. So mate, that's awesome. I'm sure those people will like think very like highly of you having helped them being able to get some mat time in. Mm-hmm. But moving kind of away from that, quitting the job, like now the focus obviously coaching full time and your own like competition career, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So that was the idea, to basically quit full-time work, and go back to coaching jiu-jitsu and, competing and stuff and being like a full-time kind of athlete, if you like. I'm really lucky. My partner, she also works FIFO, and she really likes her job. So, she was like, yep, go for it. Like follow your dreams and stuff and do what you want to do. So I'm really blessed to have her support. To kind of help. But now basically, just coaching full time. So I'm coaching mainly at Taurus. So we talked about Taurus before, but then also then at Essence as well, helping out with some classes and then running and like participating in the pro classes at Essence as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
How is Luke going? I haven't spoken to him for quite some time, and I think now he might have even quit his FIFO job, right? If I'm not mistaken, to run the gym.
Yeah. So yeah, he's pretty much done the same thing. So he was working FIFO, now quit that, and now has opened up a gym. So it's been open 2 years, and it was only going to be like kids classes. So it was only going to be basically teaching kids. And then it kind of progressed and kind of snowballed from there. A few of the parents wanted to start training and things. So I then started running some beginner classes. And then that's kind of obviously progressed again. So now basically having me coming on board kind of helps with his load. So he's not taking all of the classes every week. And then also kind of gives me a bit of bit of like constant like money really and stuff, and also kind of give back to the jiu-jitsu community all kind of down this way and stuff as well.
That's it, mate. And obviously Lou could, you know, gets to train with a black belt himself, so that's going to help with his development as well.
Yeah, he's actually coming across to the Pampax with me as well. So we're kind of gearing him up a little bit. I'm kind of running a couple of competition classes at Taurus as well for him, and me as well. And so we're just kind of pushing forward really.
So he's competing too. I haven't spoken to him for a bit. I think last time I spoke to him, he was in the process of selling that cold stuff.
Yeah, so he's they've kind of stopped doing that now for a little bit and just kind of focusing on the gym. Just kind of putting all of their energy into that for the time being. And it's we're doing really well. He's starting to grow a little bit. Having me coming on board as well as kind of helps that and stuff. We're just kind of pushing the gym.
Mate, that's awesome to hear. I don't know if Luke will see this, but please, when you see him, let him know I say hello. I'd love to have him on the podcast. It's been like, again, another person, long time coming. Like I said, we recorded one and then had to bin it. Would love to catch up with him sometime. I hope he's doing well.
I actually spoke about it this morning. So I trained with Luke this morning and I said that I'm coming on your podcast. And he was like, oh, say hello for me. So
yeah.
He says hello as well. So I'm sure he'll probably listen to this. So he'll probably hear it.
There you go. Good man. Hey, Luke, hope you're well, mate. You're welcome to come on anytime when you hear it. Hit me up and we'll book one in and get it done. So, all right, mate. So other than that, how long has it been since you quit your FIFA role now? You've been teaching full time, but how long for?
Officially, it's been like 3 weeks, I think, 4 weeks.
Oh, right. Okay. So love and life then.
It's only just really happened. Yeah.
So talk to me about what's the plans. You got Pampax coming up. What else is on your radar and what are you focused on right now?
Basically just improving as much as I can right now. Just getting back to consistent training. That was kind of the main thing. Obviously working FIFA and stuff, but now being home, getting back to consistent training, training pretty much every day now. I feel like after 3 weeks, my fitness is just starting to get back to where it should be and where I want it.
Yeah.
Consistently being able to train every day. And then just leading up into the Pampax now. So we've got the Pampax in 3 weeks. There's the ADCC Nationals as well coming up, and the Melbourne Open, which I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to go yet. Just got to work out a few logistic things. And then maybe a couple of fights towards the end of the year as well, super fights. Sweet. So, yeah.
Heaps on, mate. I'll be across them all. So what's a standard week for you look like then? I know you're obviously coaching and stuff, but could you maybe break it up for me so I kind of understand what the week of a pro athlete / coach looks like?
Sure. So Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are my kind of big training days. So in the mornings, that's when I'm up at Essence training in their pro kind of competition classes.
Yeah.
And Monday evening, I'm coaching at Taurus. Wednesday evening, I'm also coaching at Taurus. And then there's also the competition classes at Taurus Tuesday, Thursday as well. So in the afternoons, I'm kind of at Taurus as well. So I pretty much train every day throughout the week. And then I have Saturday and Sunday to kind of chill out a little bit and I do a little bit of jiu-jitsu, like open mats and stuff on the Saturdays, but it's just kind of light. It's not really competitive rounds or anything like that. It's just kind of just a little bit chilled, kind of have a roll, have a rest, have a roll, have a rest kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then Sundays I try and not really do too much. So that's kind of like the main kind of crux of my training. But then in between all of that, I try and get to the gym as well. So I try and lift. I used to competitively weightlift as well. So I kind of throw the barbells around and stuff and do a little bit of that. And also a little bit of kind of conventional kind of gym work. So I try and get 2 to 3 sessions in a week at the gym as well.
Yeah.
And that kind of leaves a few hours each day to kind of do a little bit of studying and also fill up some time with PTs and private sessions as well. So if people want to get in there and get some extra training, okay, they can always contact me and we can do some privates and PTs as well. So like fitness PTs and then also like jiu-jitsu PTs and stuff as well.
Yeah, around the Perth area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit him up, people. So, are you doing any like running in addition to that, like just for cardio? You mentioned your cardio is improving, or are you getting that all out of your comp rounds?
All out of my comp rounds. I hate running. The one thing that I do try and do at the gym is get on the assault bikes, like the air bikes. I have a love-hate relationship with those. Like, I hate it, but I love the way that it kind of improves my cardio and stuff like that as well. I do try and get on when I do go to the gym. But the majority of my cardio and training is in the like the comp rounds. I'm just training jiu-jitsu every day, just getting my body back used to training every day is kind of catching back up. I'm pretty lucky that I actually don't have any injuries right now. And I've not really ever experienced any injuries. Now, I know you've had a few injuries and stuff as well.
Yeah.
I know I'm kind of blessed in that way that I've never really had any major injuries. The only injury that I've ever had is like a popped rib, a broken rib, which kind of heals itself.
Yeah.
What's
the assault bike, mate? I've got one at the gym. I'm kind of, now that I'm, you know, on the about to ramp that up to twice a week, you know, getting heaps of mat time in. And I've been going to the gym working out like 4 or 5 days a week. Well, I'd say four consistently. There's an assault bike there. Now that I'm doing a bit more, my legs getting a lot better, I want to like kind of ramp up instead of just riding on the bike. So I want to jump on the assault bike and kind of do the circuit type thing that you would do.
Yeah.
How would you do that? Is it like 10 minutes with one, like how would you do a kind of a cycle on a assault bike?
The best thing to do to start with is to do some like Tabata train on there. So go like 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. For like 5 minutes. So you go hard for 20 seconds and then have 10 seconds off.
Or is that 80%, 100%? How hard are you going?
Go as hard as you can for those 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Obviously you can flip that as well. You could do it the other way. So you could go 10 seconds on, which should be like all out, balls to the wall as hard as you can, and then have 20 seconds off. In kind of Tabatas, like 40s and 20s as well, you can do. Or what you can do instead is you can do some kind of threshold training instead, which is kind of like looking at your heart rate. So start getting your heart rate up to a kind of a decent heart rate, and then back it off, let it drop. And then as soon as it drops to like about 110, then start ramping it back up again. And then like ramp it up, drop it off.
Right. Okay.
Two different things you can do on that assault bike. But the easiest thing to do, or the one thing that I try and do, especially if I'm kind of short for time, is just that Tabata training. Just get on there, go balls to the wall as hard as you can, and then have a little bit of rest, and then go do it again.
Yeah. Five minute sets, three sets, what do you reckon? Or just one set? How fucked am I gonna be?
go 5 minutes.
Just one set, but one set.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me three and then I go off and fucking you get a call later and I've died from like being on the assault bike. He said Peaches told him he'd be okay. So with all the training that you, thanks for that, man. I'm actually going to go off and do that. I'll hit you up later. I'll let you know how I'm feeling. Maybe not tonight. It'll probably be tomorrow, but I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So with all the work you're doing on the mats, all the training and stuff, what kind of recovery do you have and how do you fit that in?
So I try and get massages and also chiro appointments, like weekly or like fortnightly as well. So I try and get that in. But basically I just try and sleep as much as possible as well. So I really try and focus on having good quality sleep as much as possible. So try to get to bed at a reasonable hour and then get up at the same time every day as well. And just try and keep in that same cycle for the whole time.
What time did you get up at?
7:30.
7:30. What time are you in bed?
Not too early.
10:30. Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Mine's no good, mate. Mine's no good. You don't want to hear about it. I need to improve my sleep. That's low hanging fruit for me. I'll tell you that much.
So just try and improve that sleep as much as possible. And then that kind of obviously helps my recovery, helps my body kind of repair itself. And then also nutrition as well. So, I've actually got to lose a couple of kilos leading up to the Pan Pac. So right now I'm pretty clean, eating pretty well, eating pretty good. Putting out all the shit really.
Mate, is there anything you wanted to chat about I haven't asked you? Well, I haven't brought it up with you.
Nice little chat, wasn't it? Really, I don't really think there's anything. Really, no.
Have you been on a podcast before?
No, this is actually the first one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you've been a good guest, mate. it's been nice to have a chat. I feel like I kind of picked your brain asking about things. It's always good to know, like, something I feel I benefit from here is just asking people about how they go about their business. Obviously, you're succeeding at a high level, so you're doing something right. Obviously, your sleep's good, your nutrition's good, you're working out lots, you're coaching as well. You know, mate, like, I feel like I'm an everyday person when it comes to my jiu-jitsu. Obviously, I have ambitions to be very good. I want to get my black belt and stuff, but I'm not trying to win world titles and stuff like that. So I'm definitely not operating at your level. And so some of these things that you've really got dialed in, I can easily, you know, get better at and I'm sure there's a lot of other people who listen and train and they're a bit slack on some of these things.
It's just those like little one percenters that sometimes kind of all add up. So it's just little things, little daily habits and stuff that can just kind of take you kind of to that next level, I suppose, if you want. But it's just like the cumulative things over and over again, good habits and things. So, yeah.
One thing I'd like to ask you about, you mentioned before you try and fit some time in for like studying a couple of hours of jiu-jitsu study. Is this, you know, instructionals, that you on them every day? How many days a week do you reckon you're looking at instructionals trying to study?
Oh, to be honest, I'm not as good as what I should be.
Okay.
So I just try and watch a little bit of competition footage, really. That's the main thing that I kind of pick up a lot of things from. Not necessarily instructionals. If I'm having a problem and I can't figure out the solution, then I'll kind of try and research it a little bit, and that's kind of where I'll come up and like look at maybe a couple of instructionals and things. But I have lots of people around me that I can ask them as well. So I generally prefer to do that, because I'm not a very visual person. I'm more of like a doer. So I kind of need to do it to be able to kind of understand it and be able to kind of put it into practice. So I can see things, but it doesn't necessarily sink in until I've like actually done it. But generally it's just, watching competition footage. Obviously right now just had the ADCC world. So it's just watching a lot of that, kind of seeing what everyone's doing, trying to implement a few little things, a few little changes into my game and stuff that I've kind of picked up from that, really. So I try in maybe half an hour ish every couple of days, which is not a lot.
So are we talking like 2-3 hours a week or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But
you're, like you said, you're a feeler, so you can watch it all you want. I'm a bit the same, man. It's always good to keep your mind ticking over when you're injured or something like that. Yeah. Watching, learning, especially seeing new things, see an instructor talk about whatever, is good. But there's at a certain point in time, until you like get in there and you start touching body parts and feeling things, it's kind of all just in your head. You can't get good unless you're like touching other people and feeling it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I think as well. So, but everyone learns differently as well. So some people are very visual and they can see it, and then they can understand it as soon as they see it. I'm not that visual. I just kind of have to do it. And as soon as I've done it a few times, I can feel it. Cool. Now I kind of understand it a little bit more, and I can then break it down once I've done it and felt it, kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel you, mate. I feel you. All right. I'll let you go. I think we're almost at an hour. It's been a pleasure having you on. Happy to do it any other time. You got Pan Packs coming up. What was the date for that? It might be good to catch up with you and Jake on the other side of it.
28th, 29th, 30th.
Of this month?
Yeah. So like 3 weeks time. So,
okay.
So yeah. Yeah. Maybe, Friday, maybe. Saturday, I believe. So I think it's the Masters divisions on the Friday, and then Gi and No Gi on the Saturday, Sunday.
What's the age for Masters? Is it 30 plus or something? Could you be, what's the age?
30 plus, yeah. So I can actually go in Masters if I want to. So I'm actually 31 in a couple of days, actually, 24th. So I could actually go in Masters, but I just still want to go into the adults and do 10-minute rounds, which is kind of crazy, really, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, mate, you'll be all right. I feel, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what it's like competing at the highest level in jiu-jitsu, but as a 32-year-old, I definitely don't feel like I want to be in masters in anything.
I think sometimes the masters divisions are actually harder than the adults division, because you get people that are obviously like a little bit older. They've had a lot of like life experiences, like, I don't know, tradies and things like that, and they're just ridiculously strong, and but they've been doing stuff like their whole life. I don't know, like a brickie or something like that, you know?
Yeah, so or it could be someone who's had their black belt at this point for fucking 8 years, 10 years, where when they're young and 25, maybe they're real good, but they might only just have got their black belt.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah.
You know what? It's probably the biggest, bloody dangerous, deepest, darkest ocean there is in the masters division. Think about it, man. Because all the 25-year-old black belts, or what, however young they are, they're going to get to 30 and end up being masters.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. The masters worlds, I don't reckon they're any easier than the actual worlds themselves, to be honest.
Mate, there you go. That's why I don't want to be in there. All right, man. Thanks for jumping on. I appreciate you. I'll let you get on with the evening. I heard my missus just come in a couple of minutes ago, so I'll check and see what she's doing as well. Just got back from work.
All good. Thanks for having a chat. Okay, it's been really good.
You're very welcome, mate. Let's do it again sometime soon, hey?
Yeah, for sure.
You're welcome on anytime, mate. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I'll see you all soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Catch you, mate. Bye. Mm-hmm.